All right, so last Sunday, we were in Psalm 124 in this series that we're working our way through, the Psalms of Ascent. And last week's psalm, we looked at how life is perilous, that there are dangers, there are things that come up in life that we have no control over. We are really powerless in the face of life's many dangers. But that God is praiseworthy. God is able to help us even in the most difficult times, even in all of those situations and circumstances that are beyond our ability to do anything about. Today we're going to continue with that same kind of thinking as we move into Psalm 125 and kind of wrestle with this question of how do we find peace or how do we how can we feel secure in this world that we live in. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to Psalm 125. I'm going to start by reading that psalm for us. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen. The words will be up there. It says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to wicked or to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." I am sure that all of you are aware that last weekend, our nation endured another terrorist attack on U.S. soil. This time it was in the form of a mass shooting. And it has dominated the news for the last week or so as various news outlets and reporters have tried to understand, to make sense of why this took place, why it happened. In addition to that, there were many sort of articles written asking the question, how do we keep this from happening again? And that is a question, as you might expect, that gets about as many answers as there are people who ask it. Well, this morning in our psalm, there is a different question that is asked or answered. I should say that it's answered. And the question that Psalm 125 answers for us is really a deeper question. It's at the root of the question, how do we keep this from happening again? And the question that Psalm 125 wrestles with is the question of how do I find peace? Or how can I be secure in a world that is filled with sin and chaos? You see, that's really what is at the root of that question. How do we keep this from happening again? Is this desire for a sense of peace, this desire for a sense of security. If our government cannot protect us, if I can't feel safe in my own city, if I can't feel safe in my own home, then how do I find peace? Well, the answer to this question may seem a bit obvious, and maybe coming from the lips of a pastor might sound even a bit cliche. But the answer is simply that the Lord is the one who provides peace. Now, as we talk about that this morning, however, and as we wrestle with this question, the psalm helps us to not only know the answer, that it's the Lord who gives peace, but the psalm also helps us to understand how. How is it that God can give us peace in a world where we seem incapable of finding it for ourselves? The truth is that the Lord is the only one who can promise and provide lasting security. But let's also understand the reasons why that is the case. And the first of those reasons is that the Lord is a solid foundation. He is a solid foundation. Psalm 125, verse 1 begins, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever." Now, I think it's important that we understand here who is being compared to Mount Zion. It's not that the Lord is being compared to Mount Zion. It says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was studying this week, and when I read those words, that sounds like an incredibly bold statement. To say that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, that they cannot be shaken. Because, I mean, even as one who's seeking the Lord, who's following Christ, I know there are times in my life where I struggle to stay strong, to remain at peace, to have that kind of confidence in the face of everything that's going on in the world around us. So what is it saying? Look at Israel's history. Even in Israel's history, we see that it's filled with ups and downs and turning to idolatry and turning to military might or a human king looking for that peace. Sometimes even other nations trying to find some kind of security in this world. Last Sunday at our small group meeting, Rob Norwood and Cliff Peters and I were having a conversation about earthquakes. And both of those guys have lived in places where they have earthquakes. I've lived in the Midwest my whole life. I've never in my life experienced an earthquake. And I can't really comprehend what that is like. Cliff was sharing a story about driving on the freeway in California and thinking he had a flat tire and pulling off to the road and realizing that everybody was pulling off on the side of the road and seeing as the concrete, the highway itself seemed to be like rippling as the earthquake was happening. And I listened to that and I'm thinking, the ground's not supposed to ripple. The ocean, yes. The earth, no, it's not supposed to do that kind of motion. And so it seems that, the ground can shake and so can God's people. So what does the psalmist mean when he says that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever? You see, God's people have been unfaithful. Israel failed to trust in the Lord. But the Lord is constant. The Lord is always faithful. We sang about the faithfulness of God earlier this morning. God is always faithful. It says in that verse, those who trust in the Lord, and it's His covenant name there. All capital letters. That is the covenant name of God. Those who trust in the Lord, the one who enters into covenants with His people, the one who makes promises to His people and is always faithful to keep those promises. Yes, Israel strayed. And yes, at times Israel was punished for that and disciplined for that. But God was always faithful to restore His people, to restore a remnant, to provide a way of salvation. You see, we may struggle at times, but if our faith is in the Lord, we can rest in the assurance of His faithfulness. We talk about that sometimes in Christian circles. We throw around this phrase, the assurance of our salvation. And of course, what we mean by that is this confidence that we have, that we are in fact forgiven, that we have been given a new life, that we have this eternal hope that is secure, that cannot be moved, that cannot be taken from us. And that assurance of our salvation does not come from anything that we do. It's not from something that you and I are capable of. If it were, then there would be no assurance. There would be no confidence because we are up and down, just like God's people have been up and down in their faithfulness to Him. Our assurance comes not from who we are, but from who God is. And God is always faithful. He is the reason we will not be moved. He is the reason that we will endure forever because He is our solid foundation upon which His church, His people rest. So we find security and peace in the Lord, first of all, because He is our solid foundation. Secondly, we find peace and security in the Lord because He is our sure protector. He is our sure protector. Verse 2, it says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore." We've mentioned before in this series that Jerusalem, and again, these Psalms of Ascent are songs that were sung as people were traveling toward the holy city, toward Jerusalem, to lift up praise to God, to worship together at various holy days and festivals. And we mentioned that city is built in a hilly region, sometimes referred to as Mount Zion. That's the city is sometimes referred to as Mount Zion because it was built upon a mountaintop or a hilltop. And those hills or mountains around the city provided sort of a natural kind of protection, a natural barrier to other armies that might seek to invade or to conquer. And although those hills are a visible kind of protection, the real protection doesn't come from that natural barrier. The real protection is from the Lord who surrounds His people. The comparison is being made between these mountains and the Lord who is the sure protector. You see, whatever protections we put up as human beings, whether they be natural protections, building a city on a hilltop, or whether they be other things that we put up to try to protect ourselves, they are only temporary and they often fail. The Great Wall of China is one of the most impressive things that mankind has ever built. 30 feet tall, 18 feet thick, and thousands of miles long. And yet, it failed to protect the empire. It was breached numerous times. How? Well, it was simple as bribing the guards who were manning the wall. See, all of our human constructs, all of the things that we look to for protection, for peace, for security, whether it be money or education or governments, they can only do so much. And in the end, all are temporary and ultimately can fail us. The only sure protection, the only sure protector is the Lord. Now, we say that, but I think a fair question that we might be asked, or that some may be asking even now, is if that's the case, then why is it that Christians still suffer? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. We said that as the people of God, as those who seek the Lord and put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus tells His followers that they should expect persecution. That we can expect ridicule, we can expect contempt, we can expect imprisonment, we can expect all of the things that we see Christ suffering, even death. If that is the case, then how is it that we say that God is our sure protector? And I think to answer that question, we need to be thinking a little bit deeper about the question. What is our greatest need? What, as human beings, what is our deepest need? Is our deepest need physical safety? Is our deepest need an easy life on this earth? Or is it something bigger? Is it something greater? No, our deepest need is an eternal one. Our great need is God Himself. You see, the real danger is pointed out in this psalm. As the psalmist, if you look on ahead in verse 3 and beyond, it talks about how God's people might be, or the righteous might use their hands to do evil. The real danger is being lured away from God to pursue evil. All of those things that we put our trust in as human beings, those earthly things, whether it be money or education or governments or other things, can only do so much for us, and in fact can even cause us to pull away from God. And so really the only sure protector the only one who can give us lasting, everlasting, eternal security is God. I think maybe the better question to ask isn't why do Christians still suffer, although it's a legitimate question. But I think if you understand what's going on, the better question to ask is how is it that Christians can suffer and still seem to have so much joy and peace? Why is it that Paul and Silas, when they're in prison, begin to sing hymns and praises to God? Last week, we had guests here that spoke, like we're going to have next week. Last week, we had guests that spoke during our 9 o'clock hour, Sundar and Sarita Tapa. And he was describing for us what life has been like in his country over the last decades for Christians in a place where it's illegal to convert to the Christian faith, in a place where you can spend 6 years in prison if you convert someone else to the Christian faith. And how God has been changing some things in their nation and some freedoms have been opened up, but yet there's still that same danger as many of those same laws are still in place. And even just over a little over a week or so ago, some Christian workers that he knows were arrested as a result of their efforts to serve Christ in that country. And at the end of his presentation, he was sharing some ways that we can be praying for the Christians in that nation. And those of you who were there may remember this, but it was interesting to hear his prayer request. He said, please don't pray. Please do not pray that our lives would be easier or that we would be safe. But he said, please pray that we would be bold and courageous and continue to proclaim Christ. That kind of peace and fearlessness only comes from the sure protector, the Lord our God. And so we see that God provides security and peace because he is our solid foundation, our sure protector. And then thirdly, we see that he is also a righteous king. God is our righteous king. Verse 3, it says, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. There's an old saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about that is I'm not sure that power is the problem. You see, really what's going on is the power of governments and the power of authority is always in the hands of human beings. And we as human beings are sinful creatures. We are corrupted. We have fallen away from God. And so it's not so much that the power that corrupts, it's that the power is wielded by those who are corrupt. And please don't hear in this an anti-government tirade. Right? We understand we need rule of law. We need the governments that we have. I believe in the United States, we have a system of government that has sought to mitigate some of the danger of corrupt human beings abusing power through various checks and balances and so forth. But even in a system like ours, we see that there are the potentials for corruption. Over the last 50 years or so, since the early 1960s, confidence in government was at an all-time high. And I think it was like 70-something percent, which is unfathomable today. Where now we've reached an all-time low. I think confidence in the government is somewhere in the low teens. Even in the best human efforts, there is corruption and there is wickedness that can bring suffering. We need a righteous king, one who will rule justly, one who will rule righteously, one who will bring peace for all eternity. Israel's history was filled with many wicked kings. Some believe that this psalm was probably written during the reign of one of those wicked kings. In fact, even some of the good kings in Israel's history caused great suffering. We mentioned last Sunday how David, the man after God's own heart, at one point during his reign, disobeys God. He takes a census, and if you remember that story, it results in incredible suffering on the part of his people. You see, there is only one truly good and righteous king. There is one who is the fulfillment of the promise that God makes to David, that God makes to his people through David, and that there would be a righteous king who would reign on David's throne for all eternity. We could say that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus Christ. The word is the Greek word for Messiah, which means anointed one, that he is the one who is the fulfillment of that promise. And he is the one who came to establish God's kingdom and those who desire to be a part of that kingdom simply put their trust in Jesus Christ. That we all have the opportunity to be a part of God's people, to be under his authority, to have our citizenship not on earth, but our citizenship in heaven. And he comes to rule in our hearts, to rule over his people. And one day he will return to rule on this earth. And in that time, we will know true peace and security as God establishes his kingdom on earth through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, suffering will cease. Which brings us to our final point this morning. God is our solid foundation. He is our sure protection and our righteous King. If we desire peace, if we truly want to be secure in this world, we must trust in His righteousness and not in our own. We need to put our trust in His righteousness and not our own. How do we find peace? Who can find peace? Well, the answer is there in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are those who find peace, those who are indeed and in fact righteous. Look at verse 4 and 5. The psalmist lifts up a prayer. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. This is a prayer for God to bring his righteous judgment. Now, if we want to echo that prayer, and to do so in confidence, then we need to be certain of which group we belong to. I mean, if you stop and think about it, if we're going to pray that God would do good to those who are righteous, but bring judgment on those who are evildoers, that is a frightening thing to pray if we're not certain where we stand with God. I don't know about you, but it is a sobering thought that the maker of all things, the one who knows all things, the one who knows every deed, who knows every thought, who knows every wicked desire, is the one who will judge. And then we stop and you think, how can I possibly be considered upright in heart? There's only one answer, and that is the answer that the Scriptures give us, that Paul reveals as he proclaims the good news in the book of Romans. He has just finished in the first three chapters of Romans explaining how none of us are righteous, none of us are holy, none of us can stand before a holy God. And then he goes on and he says this, beginning in verse 21. But now a righteousness from God has been made known. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so how is it that we can stand in full confidence before God, knowing that we will be counted among the righteous? It is not by our righteousness that comes from us. It is not by our actions or by our deeds, but it is through a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that if we put our faith in Christ, believing that he died for our sin, believing that he rose again and that he can offer the forgiveness of sin and eternal life, then we are clothed in his righteousness. And when that time of judgment comes, we will be seen not for who we are, but for who Christ is. We are clothed in Christ. And that's where our confidence comes from. It's a truth that sets us free, free from the fear and doubt of God's judgment, and gives us confidence in our eternal future in a way that brings us peace even today. Because there is nothing in this earth, there is nothing that can happen to us in this life that can take that from us. We are not moved because of who God is, because of what he has done for us. Comedian Steve Martin once said, "Don't criticize someone until you've walked a mile in his shoes. That way you'll be at least a mile away and have his shoes." Now, the real quote is just the first part of that, right? And the real quote has to do with this idea of understanding someone else's perspective. Don't criticize unless you understand their perspective, where they're at in life, kind of why they maybe have done what they've done or think the way they think. I don't know about you, but the longer I walk with the Lord and the longer I've been a Christian, the harder sometimes it is to put myself into the shoes of someone who doesn't know Christ, to understand the thinking. And so when I hear these news stories and follow the things on in the media and so forth, it's difficult to comprehend why and where they're coming from. But stop for a moment and imagine that you do not believe there's a God, or at least you don't believe there's a God who cares about anything that's going on in this world. Imagine that you don't believe that there is a life after this one, that you don't believe that there is really any purpose or meaning in the universe, that you believe that we're just a speck and we're only here for a brief time with no control over the events of our lives and nowhere to turn in times of calamity and distress, except perhaps to some other distressed, troubled, and sometimes even wicked human beings. There is no security in that. There is no confidence. There is no hope. And there is no peace. Because these things are found only in the Lord. He is our solid foundation. He is our sure protector, our righteous King, he is the one who loves us and who has made a way for us to find peace and security for all eternity. And that way is through the sacrifice of his own Son. If we will put our trust in his righteousness, then we can indeed find peace. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you again today for the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for that new covenant that we celebrated just earlier in our time around the table. That covenant that is established by the work of your Son and not by our work. We thank you that because of his promise, because of your faithfulness, we can find peace. God, it is my prayer, it's my desire that each person who's here today would leave in full confidence, knowing that they are part of your kingdom because they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. That they would leave with that assurance that their future is secure, that they will not be moved because of who you are, that they can know peace in this world and for all eternity. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to go to that cross for us. We thank you for rescuing us from a world of sin and death and chaos, and for bringing us into your kingdom now and for all eternity. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.